It's the point.
Hello, it's Mike Robb. Welcome to The Point, where all parts of pop culture come together. Continuum is the new time travel thriller on the Sci-Fi Network. We got your sneak peek coming up. Plus, Aisha Tyler and the cast of Archer says season 4 is wilder than ever. And they'll tell you what that means as well. Wonder Woman gets closer to TV and another good month for the comic store. Let's get to The Point.
This is The Point, The Point Radio, get The Point Radio.
Season 4 of the animated FX series Archer is here, and the cast has plenty to say about it. One of the things that I was curious about is exactly how these roles compare to, well, live-acting roles in front of the camera. That's a question that I posed to actress Anne Bernash.
Well, I don't really do a lot of on-camera work. I do mostly theater. So the difference for me is that, and I'm assuming for most other actors that do on-camera work, is that it takes almost no time to do voice work. Like, you guys just, like, blaze through it. You're so good about being cool with what we do and not making us do it over and over and over again. So, we're usually only in the booth for 30 minutes to an hour, so
really?
It's not really time.
Aisha Tyler, who plays Lana, already had a couple of voiceover roles on her resume before she came to Archer.
What was my first voice acting prior? I did a couple of one-offs. I think the most well-known episode, an episode of Boondocks called Attack of the Killer Comes from Wolfitch, so... that's a very popular episode to this day. People come in on it all the time. And I did some other, like, kind of smaller stuff, but this has really been the most immersive experience for sure.
The cast agreed this season is even more over the top than ever. And I ask Aisha, is there anything in the show that she's ever really been offended by?
No, nothing has shocked me in the sense of, like, I can't say this or I can't do this. But definitely stuff that I was like, I don't know, how are we going to get away with this? There have been those. But I think, like, season one, actually the very first season, Adam and I got in not an argument, but like a semantics discussion about what was funnier, ball slappiest or ball slappinest. And we had like a 20-minute conversation about it. And I was like, yeah, this is pretty much like the TV show I want to make for the rest of my life.
So what is coming up? Best person to answer that, series creator Adam Reed.
A lot of the characters are maturing a little bit with their relationships with the opposite sex, dating. New people are getting into more serious relationships, except for Archer, who's kind of getting left behind in this grand experiment.
Check out more of our exclusive interview with Aisha right now in a video that's up on our website, GetThePointRadio.com. Season 4 of Archer right now on the FX Network, and of course, there's always more cool stuff to check out at FXNetworks.com. New week and a lot to catch up on. Here's the latest in pop culture. One story that might have slipped from your notice at the TCA's, the Television Critics Association meeting a few days ago, is the report from CW that included a brief mention of Amazon. That's the new Wonder Woman project that's not to be confused with the David E. Kelly revival from about a year or so ago. They say they're still casting for someone to play the young Wonder Woman, and that the origin story would be set in present day rather than World War II, and they're talking to both new and established actresses to play the lead part. Of course, the continued success of Arrow hurries this along. A lot of folks are referring to it, by the way, as the Smallville version of Wonder Woman, being the fact that it deals with Diana early in her career, maybe even before she puts on a costume. There was a lot of sunshine and smiles tossed out of the TCA, the Television Critics Association's winter tour. A few days back, a lot of the networks talked about all the good things coming up and how everything seems to be working just fine for them. One of the more interesting notes came from the president of ABC, Paul Lee, who raved about the upcoming Joss Whedon S.H.I.E.L.D. series. Of course, it is just a pilot, but he said they're fast-tracking it already, and he did let it slip that Whedon was already working on future scripts, which pretty much makes this a done deal for an upcoming series. The show, they say, will be a broad appeal, able to be shown at 8 p.m. for family viewing, but according to Lee, there was enough action that it could work later in the night on a schedule as well. There are some forward steps taken in the Superman lawsuit, the one, of course, with the heirs of Siegel and Schuster, against Warner and DC Comics. A Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals has reversed a lower court's decision that had given a portion of the Superman rights to the heirs, and again, this is a step backward for them, but one that not necessarily puts an end to everything. This gives DC the right to go ahead and produce Superman television and movie properties without worrying about some more legal entanglement. In the meantime, though, that also gives the heirs the right to take this to a higher court, that would be the Supreme Court, to get the decision reversed one more time. Well, I've said it before a bunch of times over the past 11 months, but it's been another good 30 days for comic book sales in stores. December showed comic sales up just under 20%, and graphic novels not too far under 10% as well when compared to the same time in 2011. Big winners included Walking Dead, of course, Marvel Now, and even a few Image titles when you look at the graphic novel chart. We'll put it all together for a list of the 10 bestsellers in both categories coming up in just a little bit. Not all the new Marvel Now titles are being met with open arms, especially Avengers Arena, which has prompted a petition online to ask for its cancellation. Fans are asking Marvel to axe the new title, which is about three issues in, mainly for the fact that it's a tacky attempt, in their words, by Marvel to copy the success of the Hunger Games franchise. If you want to check the full details of their complaint and maybe sign the petition yourself, you can do so at change.org to search under cancellation of Avengers Arena. Showtime has announced that Dexter will return early for the next season. It'll premiere on the 30th of June, which will give Homeland a chance to capture its 9 p.m. slot when it premieres again in the early fall of this year. It also gives scheduling a chance. It also gives a chance to a couple of new series that will be paired both with Homeland and Dexter in the hopes that they'll catch on as well for Showtime. The new season of Dexter will be followed by Ray Donovan, the new series with Liev Schreiber. And Homeland will be used to help launch Masters of Sex when it premieres in September of this year, also on Showtime. This week, your wallet gets a little bit of a break as you head into the comic store. Everything we're looking at that we think you should look at, pretty much all on the new comic rack, starting with a title called Black Beetle from Dark Horse. If you're a fan of noir, let's say maybe The Shadow or The Spider, or especially Fatal from Marvel, well, then Black Beetle is something you need to check out. There was a zero issue a week or two back that should still be available, and some great material on the title, too, up on the Dark Horse website. Death of the Family continues from DC this week in two titles, Batgirl number 16 and Batman and Robin number 16. And if you didn't like Mars Attacks Popeye a couple of weeks ago, or maybe you did, well, either way, you might want to check out Mars Attacks The Real Ghostbusters, one shot from IDW. From Image, a second printing of Saga number 7 this week and a new issue, Saga number 9. From Marvel, the second printing of All-New X-Men number 2 and a new All-New X-Men number 6 this week. Captain America number 1 gets a second printing. In case you missed that, there's a new issue of that too, number 3 this week. And a second printing of Hawkeye number 4, plus second printings of Thor, God of Thunder number 1 and number 2. And if you're a child of 70s television, well, you have to at least pick up a title from Dynamite this week that puts together two of their regular series. Bionic Man versus Bionic Woman, number 1. Again, that's from Dynamite. All these and a lot more surprises waiting for you at a great comic store in your area. Find out where they are with the Comic Book Locator Service at 1-888-COMIC-BOOK or with a free app right now in the iTunes App Store. The future smacks headlong into the past, and that's how it all starts on Continuum. It's the new action series Continuum, part of Powerful Mondays on the Sci-Fi Network. And it's all the brainchild of creator Simon Berry, who we ask, where did it all come from?
Well, the idea for me came out of a really pragmatic approach to trying to get my love of sci-fi really into a pipeline of television production that was feasible. So time travel is a really great vehicle for that because you can have a very large mythology and a big universe, but still be set in the present-day world, which obviously is more production-friendly. So it was a pragmatic decision at the beginning, but then once the mythology and the characters started coming together, of course, it grew beyond that into a much more passionate process for me in terms of the many characters that the show presents and also just some of the bigger themes that we are trying to explore in the show. And then the first step was to find a Kira, and we worked very diligently to find the right person for this part. And when Rachel presented herself as an option, we were thrilled and jumped on the on the chance to work with her right away. And once we had cast Rachel, we basically built the cast around her, and Victor was a great fit.
So for actress Rachel Nichols, what was it like having the cast built around her?
It was really exciting. I'd never been the first person hired on any job ever, I don't think. I loved the script and I loved all of the characters from the very beginning, and they immediately started casting people. I mean, my deal was done just prior to the Christmas holiday last year, so I was home in Maine and they were just going full steam ahead in Vancouver, casting, you know, Liberate and the rest of the police force and Inspector Dillon and Eric and Carlos. I met Victor for a chemistry read on a Friday, and I think Victor was completely moved into Vancouver by Sunday so that he could work on Monday. And it was the first time I'd ever had the opportunity to do a chemistry read with someone who would be playing, you know, my sort of best friend, confidant, my leading man. And all the guys that came in and read were great, very, very different, but great. And Victor was my first choice, which he knows now, so I'm not talking out of turn at all. But it, you know, we sort of sat down after I tested with everybody, and he was the clear runaway choice. And so then that piece of, you know, was in place. And then I knew who some of the Liberate characters were, but I didn't certainly do any chemistry reads with them. So I just sort of showed up on set first day and met everybody and thought, wow, they've assembled such an impressive cast of characters that there's no way the show isn't going to work. It's going to have to, because everybody is great. It's one of the more interesting sort of groups of people I've ever seen cast all at once. So the fact that it was a part of a show that I'm on was great.
How'd she get involved with Continuum?
My story is it's very long, but yet very interesting. I actually, one of my best friends in the entire world, got the script to me. She was the first person that reached out with the script. She said, I have a friend and she's got the script that she's casting, and I hope I'm not stepping on anyone's toes, but I think you'd be great for it. And she sent it to me and I loved it, which is very, very unorthodox. Usually you don't get a script from your best friend that's amazing that you immediately, you know, want to do. And then my team was absolutely completely on board, and they loved the script. They loved the fact that a friend of mine had found it, and we just went sort of full steam ahead, and it happened very, very quickly, just prior to the holidays last year, where we were closing the deal. And suddenly I was moving to Vancouver for 5 months on January 5th, I think it was, last year. So it was a very interesting process for me, unorthodox for me, but thrilling at the same time, and very fast. So that was fun as well.
The show's already begun in the UK and Canada with one full season already digested by fans. And we asked Rachel what it was like having it premiere right here in the U.S.
Yeah, I think that's it's one of the most exciting things, because it came out in Canada, started airing in May, and obviously did very, very well, and then went to the UK for Sci-Fi and did very well. And then, you know, the mechanism of Twitter is fascinating, because it just, you have access to all of these people who want to know what you're doing and what's going on. And I've had such a response from people all over the world from the show coming out, and especially people in the States saying for so long, when is it going to be in the States? When is it going to be in the States? We don't want to steal it or burn it or, you know, take it off the internet. We really want to see it. And now everybody's getting their wish, including my parents, who didn't have cable until a couple days ago when they realized they were going to have to buy it in order to see me. But it's something that's been well received, and I obviously think that's going to happen here in the U.S. And so it's something very exciting to think about. And finally, the fans that have wanted it for so long are getting exactly what they want.
So with the time travel plot line, is it hard to keep all the aspects of everything straight?
For me, I get lucky, because I am from the year 2077. So as far as all the future stuff is concerned, I A, know what it does, B, know when to use it, C, know that I have to hide it from everybody. I do love the scenes where I get the opportunity to be a huge dork, like the Bluetooth scene where I think I'm wearing the coolest thing ever and Carlos basically tells me that I'm a nerd. There's an episode where it becomes obvious that I've never seen a horse in real life before. I think that's episode 6. And for those things, I need Simon to tell me, remember, you've never seen this before, or remember, this is new, or this is your only concept of this thing in the future, and remember, there's no real, you know, sort of clean running water. And I definitely rely on Simon for every stuff, you know, for everything that's in 2012 that I've never experienced before in 2077. But as far as the futuristic tools, it's that's sort of the nice, close-knit relationship I have with Alec, because, well, he's the creator of all of them. So it is fun, though, the moments where I have to take absolute fish out of water, learning to drive a car, having never done that before. Provided that I have Simon to be my guide, I'm fine.
Continuum is part of Powerful Mondays every week on the Sci-Fi Channel, and you can always get more, including some recent episodes, on sci-fi.com.
This is The Point.
It was another hot month in the comic book stores and a hot end of the year as well. Comic book sales in stores for the year, as we told you, up just under 15%. And for the month of December, there was growth of just under 20% of the comic stores. So what were people buying? Well, here are your top 10 best-selling comics in comic stores during the month of December 2012. It starts at number 10 with Marvel's Thunderbolts, number 1. Number 9, the all-new X-Men, number 3. At number 8, Batman and Robin, number 15. First issue of Cable and X-Force came in at number 7. Second issue of The Avengers came in at number 6 from Marvel. Number 5, best-selling book, Detective Comics, number 15. Justice League, number 15, was at number 4. And Batman, number 15, was the third-place book. At number 2, best-selling book of the month, Avengers number 1, and the top seller for December 2012 in comic stores, no surprise here, Amazing Spider-Man number 700 from Marvel.
The Point.
That's it for the podcast, but we're on top of pop culture 24/7 on the only pop culture radio station on the planet, GetThePointRadio.com. Listen on your desktop for free right there, or on your iPhone or iPad with a free app that's available right now at the iTunes App Store. Just check under the Pop Culture and The Point. Or if you've got a Droid or a BlackBerry, listen there as well with the app called TuneIn Radio. That's free, too, in the App Store. Meanwhile, we put this podcast together twice every week with the help of Malcontent Media. And it turns up on places like ComicMix.com and MichaelDavisWorld.com. And in the iTunes podcast directory, where you can subscribe and make us real happy. Follow us on social media. We're on Facebook and on Twitter under The Point Radio. And then be back here in just a few days.
GetThePointRadio.com.